Jonathan Edwards was a very influential missionary in America. He paved the road. He paved the road to many of the future missionaries who came after him. Jonathan, that was David Brainerd, my bad. Jonathan Edwards was a theologian and a pastor in late 1600s and early 1700s. And he decided that it was important to create a book that would explain and kind of write about David Brainerd's life because he found it to be really, really important. Gideon Hawley once wrote, he was also a missionary, and when he was struggling and we had problems in his life as a missionary, he wrote the following words. He wrote, I greatly need something more than humane or human or natural to support me. I read my Bible and Mr. Brainerd's life, the only books I brought with me, and from them I have a little support. John Piper, a modern preacher and a pastor, writes the following about Brainerd. He says, Brainerd's life is a vivid, powerful testimony to the truth that God can and does use weak, sick, discouraged, beat down, lonely, struggling saints who cry to him day and night to accomplish the amazing things for his glory. David Brainerd's life is a life that not many of us would want to have. It was a really, really difficult life. It was a short life, but he dedicated his life to God. David's dad died at the age of 46 when Brainerd was 9. His mother died when Brainerd was 14, so he was an orphan at 14 years old. His brother Nehemiah died at age 32. Brother Israel died at age 23. His sister died at age 34. And David himself had a very short life. The other thing about David is he struggled with depression and loneliness. In fact, the whole Brainerd family for the past 200 years actually struggled from morbid depression. And so here was David kind of thrown out into this life where he had to figure out who he was going to be and what he was going to do without a mother and a father. So not knowing what to do, he decides to pack his bags and goes across Connecticut where he inherits a farm. He quickly realizes, however, that plowing the fields and herding the cattle is not his calling. His heart was somewhere else, and that was education. So he spent approximately a year at the farm, and he decided to come back to his hometown, Haddam, Connecticut, where he began to get himself ready for college. At age 21, he was accepted into Yale University. However, the problems he kind of had at the beginning of his life were only the beginning of his problems. The real test came afterwards. So in his first year of college, David got measles, and so had to drop out for several weeks out of college. As he got into his second year of studying, he again had to drop out for several weeks because he began to spit blood. As it turned out, at a very early age, at the age of 21, David had tuberculosis, a disease he would die from 7 years later. Those problems, however, continued in his life. He kind of gathered his strength, kind of brought himself together, and decided that he will continue and finish off education. But as he got into his fourth year of education, he was excluded from Yale University. He was kicked out. Apparently, he thought that saying that one of the tutors had no more grace than a chair was wise. And he said that he wondered why the rector didn't fall dead. And so for remarks like this, he was kicked out of Yale. He, of course, tried to make peace with officials so they would bring him back into the university so he would finish his education. But that didn't happen. And so here was David completely crushed, not knowing what he was going to do. No mother, no father, no education, really no career. And so his dreams of ever becoming a scholar kind of came to an end. The thing is, God had a bigger plan for David. And so in 1742, a committee called him and said and asked him if he wanted to serve as a missionary to the Native Americans, to which he agreed to. And so in 1743, he made his first trip to the Conemaugh Indians, where he began to labor amongst them, work amongst them. And that first year, he actually began to learn the native tongue. He translated some of the Psalms, and he actually even started a school. However, in 1744, he was reassigned to the Native Americans known as the Indians at the Fork of Delaware. And one of the many miracles happened here as he was walking to these Native Americans. So as he's walking to their camp, he decides that He's going to camp out a day before he comes into their village. And so here he is at night praying by the fire. Little does he know that the American warriors, Native American warriors, they surround him and are watching him, and they were about ready to attack him. And the following events that came or happened really were a blessing in his life. Frank Borham, an author, records this incident. He writes, "But when the braves," that is the Native American warriors, "but when the braves drew closer to Brainerd's tent, they saw the pale face, or the white man, on his knees. And as he prayed, suddenly a rattlesnake slipped to his side, lifted up its ugly head to strike, flicked its forked tongue almost to his face, and then, without any apparent reason, glided swiftly away into the brushwood. The Great Spirit is with this pale face," the Indian said, "and thus they accorded him as a prophet's welcome." So here's David praying on his knees, and these warriors are watching this whole scene kind of uncover before their eyes. And when just a snake was about to bite him, it kind of just slithers away. And they say that the spirit is with him. David gets up, walks into this village, and gets the most amazing, shocking welcome, something he didn't even expect. And that whole year was a complete blessing with him, for him. However, he served or labored with these Indians for a year. And he again was reassigned to the next group of Indians known as the Indians at Crosswixon in New Jersey. Here, the Lord also blessed him. He had an assembly of about 130 believers. Some schools were also started, and he worked among these people for about 2 years. And it came to the point where his health got so bad that he had to leave these Native Americans. He made his one last trip amongst these Native Americans, said his goodbyes, and went to the house of Jonathan Edward, where he actually died. It may seem that David's life was a really short life, but we have to realize that throughout his whole time, he was a very sick man. There are records of him where he would be hungry. There are records of him where he'd be cold, sometimes even lost in the wood. He kept a daily journal where he would write some of the events that would happen in his life. So he writes, "I live poorly with regards to comforts of life. Most of my diet consists of boiled corn, hasty pudding. I lodge on a bundle of straw, and my labor is hard and extremely difficult, and I have little experience of success to comfort me. In this weak state body of mine, I was not a little distressed for want of suitable food. I had no bread, nor could I get any. I am forced to go or to send 10 or 15 miles for all bread I eat, and sometimes it is moldy and sour before I get it, even if I get any considerable quantity. But through divine goodness, I had some Indian meal, of which I made a little cakes and fried them, yet felt contented with my circumstances and sweetly resigned to God." In another journal entry, he writes, "Exercised with a violent cough and a considerable fever, I had no appetite to any kind of food and frequently brought up what I ate. As soon as it was down, and oftentimes had little rest in my bed by reasons of pains in my breast and back, I was able, however, to ride over to my people about 2 miles every day and take some care of those who were then I work upon a small house for me to reside in amongst the Indians." It's amazing how this person, being as sick as he was, having as little food as he had, still cared for the people that he was laboring with. He writes that, "At times, I would have to send people 10 or 15 miles to bring me food. And even if they would bring me food, most of the time it would be moldy, rotten. And even if I did eat this food," he's like, "as soon as I would eat it, I would automatically throw it up." He says that at times, he's like, "I would sleep at night, and my cough would get so bad, the smoke in the tent would get so thick that he'd have to run outside into the cold, spitting blood, because his health was just giving out." But he writes, "I'd wake up in the morning, I'd ride the horse two miles in order to take care of my people." David Brainerd was a person who extremely cared about the Native Americans. He was a man of prayer, and in one journal entry, he writes, "I felt my heart drawn out after God in prayer almost all the forenoon, especially while riding. And in the evening, I could not help crying out to God for those poor Indians. And after I went to bed, my heart continued to go out to God for them till I dropped asleep. Oh, blessed be the God that I may pray." David Brainerd was a person who, in agony and extreme anguish, cried out to the Lord for the people he worked for. He called them my people. He prayed for his own self-sanctification. He prayed for the revival amongst these native tribes. He prayed for the revival amongst the revival in his country. There are records of him where he would actually dedicate 6 hours a day in order to stand on his knees and pray to God. so God would help him out and take care of these people that he was laboring with. Some of the effects of David's life. As it turns out, Princeton University was founded partially because of David Brainerd. The founders of the college were greatly dissatisfied with the admission process and the approval process of David Brainerd and how he was kicked out. And so a different college was made where David was actually one of the first students. That was the first kind of effect or impact his life had. Wheelock, another missionary several years after David Brainerd, was greatly touched by his story and about the fact that little could David do amongst the Iroquois Indians. So being touched by the story, he decided that he will go and work with his people and spread the gospel amongst these people, in which he was really blessed. Wheelock started a school, which came to be known today as the Dartmouth College, a prestige college even in our days. Only God knows how many people came to Christ because of David Brainerd. Only God knows how many missionaries decided to go spread the gospel because of David Brainerd. I want to conclude with a quote that David Brainerd actually wrote in his journal. It pretty much sums up his reason for living, his purpose of life. He writes, "When I really enjoy God, I feel my desires of him the more insatiable, and my thirstings after holiness the more unquenchable. Oh, for holiness, oh, for more of God in my soul. Oh, this pleasing pain, it makes my soul press after God. Oh, that I may not loiter on my heavenly journey."